doesn't need electricity, man. He's still going horse and buggy. So he's loving it. Very efficient. LT, how you doing?
I'm very well. Bicycles also work.
Mm-hmm. Al, can you tell me, like, what was going on with Dan Bouchard back in 1979 when he allowed four goals in the first four shots against the Montreal Canadiens? I'm sure you were probably reporting that game at the time.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Habs of that era were the type of team that gets put four behind you pretty quickly. So Bouchard was an excellent goaltender. But I think, like last night, you can be a good goalie and have a truly awful start to a game. And the first two, I thought the Oilers' defense were a little ragged, and everybody, including Koskinen, was poor. But then you can't give up the third and definitely the fourth, and he did. And then that poor stick did nothing to – didn't help Koskinen, but that's not the stick's fault. And then after that, I think you got to pull him. But, you know, I was surprised at the rage. You know, I understand being disappointed that the game is effectively over by then. But, you know, Mikko Koskinen in the last 10 games had a .929 save percentage. He has played well since Mike Smith came back, and he's been on what we've considered to be a regular rotation. So, you know, but there was a lot of anger last night, and I think it was just a matter of, you know, people being upset the game was probably over early. But, you know, Koskinen will be fine. He'll play again, and he'll play well, and then people will forget about last night, you hope, anyway.
Zach MacEwen was a pretty good scorer when he was playing, you know, in junior. He got 21 goals, but not exactly a regular NHLer. How do you feel about Darnell Nurse getting upset about, you know, whatever happened, the knee or the high stick, and then choosing, going out of his way to fight him at this time of year, Mr. Low Tide?
Well, the last part of your sentence is the problem at this time of year. Clearly, and I didn't see it very well, I saw it, but it looked like he tried to, you know, hit Darnell Nurse when he was down with his knee, and may or may not have hit him. He did something to make Darnell Nurse mad, and you know, that I'm sure it would make anybody angry. The problem is, if Nurse fights and breaks his hand, or you know, God knows what might happen. And I mean, he took some good shots. That one slash to the back was pretty compelling, and he got a penalty for it. But at this point, you can't call off the competition. I get that, but you hope that he doesn't do something that is going to cost his team, like a broken hand. And this time of year, I'm telling you, I remember years and years ago, Jean Rattel was skating around in a pregame skate, and Dale Rolfe, who was a defenseman for his teammate, is a Ranger, and he broke his ankle, shot the puck toward the net, hits Rattel, breaks his ankle, and that was 72. The Rangers were very good. They ended up going to the final but not winning, and Rattel was not a part of the team. So this is a bad time to be doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's really tough, you know, because you look at, like, you don't want the guy to turn off that intensity, you know what I mean? And I happen to agree with you, which is surprising in this area, like, just of the fighting. But, like, if this is the first game of the playoffs and you're playing against the Habs and you fight Shea Weber, it's a little different situation, right? Like, yeah. I saw this as, like, how can I say this politely? I think what would be really nice is you slash him as hard as you can on the ankle, and then you skate away and accept the 5-minute major. You know what I mean? Like, instead of fighting. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not saying don't be angry, but just choose how you unleash that anger rather than a – because the broken hand for me is the biggest concern. That is obviously against a guy like Zach MacEwen.
Well, and you know, they – like, Nurse is more valuable to this team today – than he's ever been, like than he was a year ago or 2 years ago. Nurse is like, he's a really valuable piece of this team, and so losing him would be a major story. And quite honestly, I think he's one of the players on this team where if you lost him, you couldn't overcome it. Like, there's not a — you could put Caleb Jones in there and Chris Russell and Kulikov as your three lefties, but that's not — you haven't replaced him. You've put another guy in his place, but that's not the same thing. And Nurse is at that point now. It's a compliment to him. He's too valuable to be risking his health in that way. And maybe, I don't know how many years ago, 2 years ago, it would not have been as big an issue. It's a big issue now if he gets hurt.
Okay, you two veterinarians, are we good now?
Well,
like you guys, like do you guys got your scalpels out? Or anyone else you want to neuter on the team?
Well,
what the hell is going on here?
Well,
so you've got a player who gets need. He feels that he got need while he was down on the ice. He was pissed off. It's an emotional game. You can't. Darnell Nurse, that's what a leader does. Did he get hurt? Yes or no? Is Darnell Nurse hurting? Did he play today? He's practicing. He's going to play tomorrow. We analysis about maybe he gets hurt. Well, then you know what? He shouldn't be on the penalty kill for the next four games because he could block a shot and break his foot. Because that happens more than guys get hurting and fighting. So then we should tell him not to block a shot the rest of the regular season. Like I just don't buy the there's that much more of a risk of getting injured in a fight. When you feel a guy has wronged you that bad, like you felt McEwen, who by the way has a hearing from the NHL today, that I'm okay with it. Right? He felt like he's down on the ice and the guy need him. Like Strauss, you of all people have come on here and said, yeah, you know what? When I found the guy cheap shot at me, I want to stand up for myself. Like,
I know,
come on.
I did suggest a pretty serious way. I talked about a major slash here. Like I'm talking a 5-minute slash, you know, and he did cross check him and punch him in the head a few times and got 2 minutes. Like that's, he got full value. I think Connor actually tweeted that out. He got full value for that 2 minutes. So, I just it's the opponent, Griggs. Like no disrespect to Zach McEwen. I love people from Charlottetown, but it's just there's no sense in it. Like Zach McEwen won that exchange, right? And so,
well, he just got suspended. This just came down right now. Zach McEwen suspended one game for kneeing Darnell Nurse.
See, I didn't think that he was even that bad.
No, me neither, but I think it's because he was on the ice strut and you saw him and he leaned his knee. Yeah. Like he did, even though, you know, it's the action, not the result. Yeah. So I agree with you. I was kind of like, oh, really? But he just came down. He is suspended for a game for kneeing Darnell Nurse, probably because he was down on the ice in a vulnerable position.
I just want to say that I did fail veterinarian school and a lot of baggage from that, so that last exchange, you know, sort of hit home. But I will say that I like, he slashed him. He did, you know, tried to get McEwen to fight with him. Eventually, they did. I just stand by it. I understand what you're saying. Nurse is, you know, maybe that's the problem with having your best defenseman also be an enforcer. But the Oilers are, man, guys, they could go on a run here. Winnipeg's not such a great team, they can't beat them. And after that, who knows? You got an opportunity here, and he's a big part of it. So, you know, call it neutering, call it whatever. I would call it discipline because you know what's at stake. I think fighting for Darnell Nurse is, especially when the playoffs have been secured and second place has been secured, I'll die on that island. He shouldn't fight, not right now. If he gets into the postseason and that's part of the game, then that's fine. But right now they need him to get to the playoffs healthy.
Well, you know, go ahead, Griggs.
I just want to move on from Nurse. Let's go to their depth scoring, because that's a legit issue. Alan Mitchell joins Gregor and Struds. You got McDavid. He's on fire, and he's playing so well, and he's scoring so many goals that, you know, we're not even focusing on it. But, like, the second line, we could talk chances all day long. Chances. You know what? If everybody knows the saying about, you know, if your aunt had nuts, you'd be your uncle. We get all that, right? So at some point, you need some production. And, you know, they're not producing it. It's almost forcing the hand of Dave Tippett to have to split up McDavid and Draisaitl for the playoffs because you can't win with just one line. Well, I wouldn't think so anyway, come playoff time.
I agree. I think I looked at it the other day, and Kyler Yamamoto is a guy I like a lot. He has not scored in, I think he's got one goal in 20 games, something like that. And you know, this time of year he might have a slight injury or whatever. He's got great chances, but at some point, if you're going to stay on that line and if you're going to be a part of the top six, you got to cash. And Puljujarvi has been cashing fairly often. McDavid and Draisaitl are just stunningly good. But Cahoon and Yamamoto and Nuge. I love Nuge, but Nuge at 5-on-5, though they have to be better. Like, there's a point at which you just simply have to fulfill the role that you're in. And those guys are in the role of being top six forward, and there's an expectation that you're going to score. And that time is now. Be nice to see them fill the net here before the playoffs start so they can, you know, maybe start the postseason with a little more confidence than they probably have now.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility there. But, I mean, if those three guys are actually together as they hit the ground running in the playoffs, like, who, like, of those three, who's going to get to the net? Who's going to go past Shea Weber, Edmondson, Sherratt? Like, these guys are—they're not fun to be around. They're grumpy. They're kind of like low tide on a Sunday afternoon. Like, it's not fun. And so, I just don't think, like, you know, people are, oh, they look pretty good. Yeah, they're good. They're playing against, what you'd call it, Greg's, an AHL, or not AHL team, exhibition team, exhibition game team. And that's what they do look like. So I don't have a lot of faith in that group to actually get it done when it's a team that is, got, you know, it's going to make life hard. So that's why I, you know, maybe they do go back to splitting those two guys up and trying to add a little bit more beef on that line, because it's not going to work, guys, I don't think. Not against, well, for sure not against Montreal.
But who do you put in? Like, if you take, like, Yamamoto's, you know, he's getting chances. Nuge, you're not going to move off the top six. Let's say you take Cahoon off that top six. Who are you putting in instead, Ennis?
Well, I think you put, I think you split the big guys up, 97 and 29. Then I don't mind Cahoon with McDavid. I think that, you know, he gets in there, and I think he understands his role with him. And to be, you know, you wrote an, I think it was an article you wrote to Low Tides, or joined by Alan Mitchell, that said, you know, there is value in Cahoon if he's not in the top six. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's what I got from the first three sentences I read of the article. And I think that you're right. Like, it actually gave me pause, because I'm like, you know what? If he's further down the lineup, he looks better because he has a better matchup. I don't believe he's a top six player. So, you know, the team's asking him to do more than he can do. So, you know, I think we have to have those expectations there. I think Yamamoto should be a top six player. So he does have to finish those. I have higher expectations for him finishing than I do for Cahoon. Yeah. And maybe that's unfair for Yamamoto or unfair for Cahoon, guys, but that's how I see it.
Well, I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah, well, eventually they got to get some production from their bottom six as well, right? They're going to need, you know, Neil, Kara, and Chiasson had two goals in four games last year in the playoffs, so they're going to need something like that from that line. And hey, Ryan McLeod, you know, and I like what Dave Tippett said, like, McLeod's, and it's hard to do, but he's got to shed his, oh, I'm in the NHL, I have to pass up every scoring chance to look for someone else. Got to start shooting the puck, right? He's been in really good spots three different times, and it's hard. He's a young player, but this isn't the, well, hey guys, no, you trust me. I remember Sean Horkoff early on, he sat down with Hall and Eberle. It was like three games in. He just said, dude, shoot the puck. Like, I'm not going to get mad at you for shooting the puck. And it's hard. And so he needs one of his veteran line mates to just grab and say, hey, shoot the puck. And then the guy's like, okay, I'll shoot the puck. Strud's going to, guys don't get mad at you when you're in a good shooting opportunity and shoot, right? Now, if you start shooting when the guy's wide open, okay, maybe different. But McLeod, and I think he'll get over it, but he kind of, it's hard. That's the hard thing about bringing in a young guy late in the year, is you're asking him, because when you're in the lineup, it's not just about skating around and looking good. You got to do something. That's the harsh reality. That's why the NHL isn't a developmental league. You develop all this stuff in the AHL, so when you come to the NHL, you can showcase it. So I just, you know, simple things like that. McLeod, his speed, I love it. You know, he's involved. He's good positioning. You got to see him kind of get rid of the rookie jitters and start shooting the puck.
Well, he had so much speed-wise. I'd love to see him cash. And I think he's been here, what is it, six games now? So he's probably been here to the point where maybe he's starting to put pressure on himself a little bit. If something goes in off his butt, and you know, we know Strutty scored a lot of goals that way, that you know, maybe that unlocks him a little bit. I'll tell you, I know it's the AHL and it's not the NHL, but he was flying in the AHL. And if something goes in, maybe we'll see that. I would think that's the hope of Dave Tippett, who needs something, as you say, from the bottom six forwards here for the rest of the year and into the playoffs. They've got to get some offensive output. That's why I think when Cassian comes back, he goes right into the lineup, because everybody remembers that 2017 goal against San Jose, and he has had some success in the postseason.
LT, quickly, Kerryon Johnson, claimed off waivers today for your Philadelphia Eagles. This is a guy a few years ago that was highly touted. He's kind of had some drawbacks. Can he have new life with your Eagles?
Well, I think he'd be a situational back, right? Like they've got Sanders, and he's great. But I think it's a great pickup, and I think they have had a good offseason. I'm glad the Giants are in that division because they could beat somebody. But I don't think they're going to be pushing towards Dallas and at the top of the division with the Dallas Cowboys. They'll play around with the Giants, and they'll each finish 5-11 or whatever, and get good draft picks again. I don't know what the Giants are doing. I guess they're rebuilding again. I was surprised they didn't take a quarterback in the draft.
Well, I don't want to be hurtful, but I read a rumor from some of those insiders suggesting that the Eagles may join the XFL and CFL league so they can compete. Is that true or no?
Yeah, no, they feel like they're, as long as they can beat the Giants, and we know that'll happen, that they're fine staying in the NFL.
I can't wait for these guys. The Giants are going to blow people away. 8-8, buddy. 8-8 is coming down the pipe.
Hey, do you remember that Jones play where he was running down the field and there was nobody around and he fell down?
Hey, remember that one? He got tackled from behind, I think. He got caught. from behind. I can't wait.
One of the greatest.
We're going to tear it up. We're going to tear this league up, buddy. You watch, you guys.
Okay. Well, trust me. We'll be watching. We'll be watching. Al, have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday when the Oilers will be in Montreal.
Good stuff, guys. Have a great weekend.